Hi there and welcome to Garden Church Podcast. We're excited that you've tuned in to hear a message from one of our team. I know that you'll be encouraged in your faith and challenged to live for God. We pray that you'll encounter Jesus in new and fresh ways as you listen to this podcast. God has got something great for you.
Thank you guys, amazing. Going to share for a few moments in terms of our community of faith. If you're wanting to know what our prayer for you is, as pastors, a leadership team, and one to another, is that you would find God's purpose for your life, is that you would discover a life-giving community where you can thrive, but ultimately where you can discover and experience Jesus. There's a couple of Christians in the place that are excited about that. Your pastor is just saying that we are a church that exists because of experiencing the name above all name. I had two or three people say, whip-de-doo. We exist because of Jesus. It's all about Jesus. You are here because of Jesus. You're not here to meet with a pastor. I'm telling you, even my role is to get out of the way and point you towards Jesus. It is all about Jesus. It's a Jesus community. It's a Jesus purpose. It's Jesus, the beginning, middle, and end. In fact, if you read the scriptures, it's all about Jesus. Even from the book of Genesis right away to the book of Revelation, or from revolution to generations, it's whatever way you look at it, it's all about Jesus. Our youth ministry is all about Jesus. Our young adults is all about Jesus. Our kids ministry today is all about Jesus. Small groups, it's all about Jesus. Community, it's all about Jesus. We're not, if we don't have Jesus in our community, we're just a club. And the world doesn't need another club. They can go down the road to the surf club. We are not a club. We are a community, a common unity, which is Jesus, that brings us together in vision, in purpose, in heart. We are combined together in love and unity because of Jesus. He's the name above every other name. You say, what's the big focus of your church? I'm here to tell you that it is Jesus. It is Jesus. Turn to the person beside you and say, it is Jesus. I pray that you would sense him. I pray you would experience him. I pray that you would go on to grow in relationship with him. I'm telling you, somebody told me, encouraged me when I was a young man. It was actually really great wisdom. And if you hear wisdom, you're a wise person to, even if you don't understand, is just to take what they say and do it. And he said, Johnny, you need to write down your journey of faith. I said, well, what? Write the what? And he encouraged me in journaling, in writing down struggles, doubts, fears. And to God's glory, I have a journal for every year since I was 18. And in some of those journals, there's blood stains, you know, where one of my kids probably, I don't know what happened. You know, we were always rushing to the hospital. there's some that there's coffee stains of spilled coffees. There's some there's tear stains. I was reflecting on my journal when I was 18 this week. There was probably about four or five entries, to tell you the truth. But you never despise the day of small beginnings. And seeds, I could see the seeds. And looking back, I see the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God. I want to tell you this, every person today, that if you follow Jesus and you're doing it right, he gets better and better and better and better. Not only in blue sky days, but in rainy clouds and stormy days and dark days, he's even great then. Even when life sucks, come on somebody, he is good all the time. I'm not even into this message, but that's all good. Life-giving, what comes to mind when I say those two words, life-giving? Do you think of a David Rabbitborough documentary? you know, where he's describing a flower and it's kind of, you know, those slow motion flowers, or, you know, a wild polar bear out in the wild giving birth to a young cub. What is it when it comes to mind to life-giving? I pray, and I pray it'd be your prayer as well, that we as a community of faith would be the image of those two words, that we would be a life-giving community of faith. That is our calling, that is our vision, that is our destiny in God, if we're to fulfill it, that we would be a life-giving community of faith. In fact, I love, love, love what God has instructed us to call ourselves, Garden, G-A-R-D-N, which is not hipster for garden, if you didn't know. It's actually how you spell garden in Hebrew, because it's all about the garden. If you look at it, what was first given in the garden was destroyed by sin, but then there was a greater man than Adam who came. He was the second man. His name was Jesus, who represented all of humanity, and he takes us back to the garden of purpose, of closeness with Jesus and life with God. That was the second Adam, and it's all about the garden, restoring what was lost in the garden through Jesus. We can return to the garden, and that is a place that is life-giving. Can you all say life-giving? Oh, my goodness, I pray that we would be a life-giving community of faith to one another, to this world around us that so desperately needs him. I pray our teenagers would be teenagers that are life-giving. You receive the life and then you give life. I pray our young adults will be people that are life-giving. I pray our families will be life-giving families to the community around us. So today, very quickly, we're going to look at the future of a life-giving church. Are you going to help me? I've literally got about 7 minutes, so you've got to help me. Who believes in miracles? Come on, somebody. The future of a life-giving church, our future as a life-giving church must always be younger. Can everyone say younger? Here's some revelation for you, that every year we get older by 1 year. Everybody. Most people. We all get older by 1 year every year. We started this church with a bunch of young adults that weren't even married, most of them, some of them. They met in a lounge room, and then we just, in 2008, we started together in our lounge room, and then 2010, we started public services. Those young adults, they got married, they had kids, and now a lot of them, in fact, pretty much all of them are still a vital part of our church today. But the truth is this, is that just by the very fact of us living, we get older. That's why a prophetic church, a church that's cutting edge, a church that's life-giving, is purposeful in that it is always looking to raise up the younger. Hold on to your seats if you're above 35 and you're getting insecure for a moment, because it's not about replacement. It's about reinforcement. In the kingdom of God, you don't replace generations, you reinforce from one generation to another. It's very different to the way the world does. And this is the truth, is that studies have been shown that typically for people above the age of 35, we start looking back on our life that was. If you're a teenager and up to about the, and once again, it's a general statement that studies have been shown that from teenager to 35, you're looking forward with expectation at the future and the wonder of what can be. And those above 35 look back at what was. Here's a clue to staying young. Keep on looking ahead with expectation and exuberance of life. Don't say, oh, the good old days. I remember when we used to sing 3 hymns and every verse of the hymn. No, the good old days are right now. The good days are right now and they're here to come. I mean, did you see how unco I am on stage doing L-O-V-E? Come on, somebody. You're so merciful, have such an unco pastor. But you know what? I'm going to stay young because I'm looking ahead. The greatest days for your life, friend, aren't past. They aren't gone when you're 14. They're still to come in Jesus Christ. You say, how can you say that with confidence? Well, the path of the just leads spirals upwards. I'm not saying you may not walk through challenge or difficulty. That's just life. That can suck. You know my journey and some of our journey. But I'm here to say you hold on to Jesus long enough, and you'll bust through a dry season. You'll come through a drought, desert place, into the goodness of God. It gets better and better and better because you know Jesus greater. So we're going to be a young church because we've got so much to look forward to. Oh, please, church, come on, help me preach today. You see, if unless we intentionally focus on the younger generations, kids, youth, and young adults, a generation could potentially miss the gospel. I'm here to say in front of you today, not on my watch. And I know it's the same prayer for you. Because 80% of people born again, they say, do so before they are 25. That's why, Lynn, you pray. I'm speaking to one of our prayer warriors now, who's in her late 20s. Let's just say that. That's why we pray for the young. Because we may not be a teenager anymore, but we're believing for our teenagers to have the greatest move of God the world has ever seen. It has been said that the Christian church is just one generation away from extinction, but one generation away from the greatest move of God that the earth has ever seen. I'm telling you what, I'm putting my chips on. That's a betting terminology, so probably not a good terminology. What I'm going after is the greatest move of God the earth has ever seen. I've only got a few more moments, but even if I just land here, you know, a great move of God happened in South Korea post the Korean War. Pastor Greg here this morning, who was missionary in North Korea for nearly 40 years, is not, so that was awkward. It's a great move of God. At one point, after the Korean War, there was 3% Christian in South Korea. It was a great move of God. Right at the center of a man of God called David Yonggi Cho and his church that grew up to a million people, to the point of South Korea was at 1.33% Christian. So one in every three people were born again Christians. But they say, this is the sad thing, they say now the statistics are looking like, again, that it's about 3% to 5% Christian in South Korea, again, which is a sad thing. And you say, how did that happen? Well, people that have done studies even on Korea, South Korea, said that they didn't focus on and raise up the next generation. They had a great time and a great move of God, but they missed the power of the gospel that is about from one generation to another generation. Can you please put up that scripture there really quickly? Psalm 145, verse 4, that one generation commends your works to another. They tell of your mighty acts from one generation to the next. That's a future of a life-giving church is formed by becoming younger. Everybody say younger. Once again, it's not about replacement. If you're above 35, you will not be kicked out of this church. It's from one generation to another. In fact, I will say this, that we need every generation. We need those in their 80s to say, hey, look, I've got some scars and I survived. I raised some kids. Now they're adults, now they've got families. We need some people in their 60s that have lived for God their lives. We need some people in their 40s. We need some young adults that are on fire for God, living for Jesus, saying to our young people, you know what, don't live half-hearted or half-baked, but live for Jesus. We need some teenagers that are on fire because there's some kids coming out through there. They're saying, how do I live as a teenager? We need every generation. Our future must be stronger. Maybe I'll finish on this because I've run out of time, but our future must be stronger. This speaks about leadership, the call of God on our church for leadership. The last few years in the world in general, I've noticed a leadership vacuum where to get voted in, somebody places a signal of virtue but doesn't own it or live it, which is the opposite of Christian character, by the way, just to get voted in, which in definition of Christian leadership and influence is the opposite. I've seen a vacuum of leadership not only in governments but in nations, in homes and even churches. And I believe God, by His Holy Spirit, is calling us to be a church that makes an influence in people's lives, whether it's in homes. Men and ladies, I'm speaking to you today that you have been given an anointing to be the influential person in your household. Not the culture, not the environment, but there's an anointing on your life, a calling on your life as mum and dad, as people that are influential in your world. Let me speak to the men for a moment. God has anointed you not just to be the backseat person in your household, but to be a person that leads from the front, that leads through an example, that leads through coaching people around you, but to be a person of influence in your world. Now, when I'm speaking about influence, you straight away go to that term that is overused now, which is like influencer. And you think of Kim Kardashian or, you know, Dwayne The Rock Johnson or somebody, oh, well, I've got to be that person to be a person of influence. Quite the opposite. Because in God's kingdom, in fact, if you are an influencer, use it for good and greatness. But let your virtue be lived out of who you are, not just about who you post. You post something about God's goodness and grace and mercy, and you make sure that you're living it all at the same time. God's kingdom and definition of greatness, He didn't say, hey, don't be a leader, but He didn't say, don't be great. He said, when you're being great, this is how you do it, Matthew 20:26. Instead, whoever wants to become great among you, they must be your servant. And so He's speaking about the position of our heart, that quite often greatness is made in the secret place. Greatness is not about being famous, friends. Greatness is about living a life of integrity and following the call that is upon your life. We as a church are so passionate about raising a group of people that are leaders in life, leaders in business. None of you are in business here. Leaders in business. Leaders in people's homes, leaders in communities. In fact, this morning, it's quite relevant. Let me just say this, that this morning we start our leadership process. When I talk about leadership, it's about leadership, discipleship making, culture making, people that have an essence that, hey, I'm not just a thermometer that reads the temperature, that I'm a thermostat that changes the temperature. Do you know we've launched something this year called Greenhouse, which is an intentional environment to nurture the growing of greatness in people's lives. If you are a leader in any way in this church, if you're a small group leader, right through to people leading departments, youth group leader, you are in Greenhouse, which is sharpening the gift and the calling upon your life so that you can make a godly impact for the King of all kings. But do you know what? Even today, we are starting this Greenhouse from the age of 8 years old. So this morning, there's a group of people that with their parents' permission have said, you know what, I'm a part of Greenhouse because we see something on their life and we want it sharpened for God's kingdom purpose that is about a future of a life-giving church becoming stronger in God. I'm going to close in prayer. Ben, would you come? Who knows I've got two more points? Who wants to hear them some other time? I'm not going to say them this morning. Our future must be stronger, friends. Speaks about leadership. Two other points is our future must be deeper. Speaks about putting our roots down into Jesus. Putting our roots deep, deep down into Jesus. Not into deep dogma of doctrine that confuses us and gets us wading through thick mud, but deep into the person of Jesus. Deep into His Word. Deep into His presence. I've been in the church long enough to be sick of this. I'm sick of actually people getting hurt in the church and throwing everything with church and God out the window because of their experience that they had. And I question the fact, were their roots actually deep into Christ? Oh, come on, friends. I'm talking real to you for a moment. Did they actually know that it was Jesus that died for their sins? Were they actually aware that it was Jesus that paid the penalty so they could be right with God? It wasn't a man. I'm here to tell you that I will let you down. That's not a confession. That's an admission of my humanity. There's people around you will let you down, but Jesus, I'm telling you, if your roots are in His Word and into Him, you'll go from glory to glory to glory to glory. The last thought is our future must be wide. Our future must be wide. I want you to put up that image there that I have of this last point here, which is a calling. It's the land that we live. I haven't always called it Bundjalung Country. In fact, I wasn't too certain of it, but I was describing what I felt in my heart over and over to the area, the region that God was calling us. And I would say things like, you know, we're really praying from Burley out to Bow Desert down to Yamba that we'd have an impact as a church that would be life-giving community that would reach, touch the schools and university and homes and life. And I'd say this over and over again, just describing the region until a wonderful Indigenous gentleman came up to me and said, Jono, you're describing Bundjalung Country. And I was like, I'd heard of Bundjalung Country, I know, but it's like I didn't know it was that detailed. And it was just this beautiful moment where it was like, wow, God has put a blueprint on our First Nations people of this nation, and then thousands of years later, this white fella gets a revelation of what God's called us as a church to influence, to make an impact to. And I begin to describe that, and then there's this connection of, wow, God's called us to make an impact in this region that has been known as Bundjalung Country. And so if you're called to this church, and I think that's significant, you're called to Garden Church. We're saying, yes, we're praying for our own homes and our own lives, but it doesn't stop there. It's like, the gospel always must go out. We're here today because it didn't stop in Jerusalem. We're here today because it didn't stop in the Middle East. We're here today because it didn't stop in Europe. We're here today because it just didn't stop in Europe and Africa. We're here today because it just didn't stop in that region of the world. But the gospel went and got received in hearts. We're here today because the gospel is always about going. It's always about reaching because there's always one more person. There's spare seats beside you. There's always one person. There's always one more person where God's heart, because his kingdom is wide. I was going to speak about the love of God that is wide. It's long and it's deep and it's wide. That is the love of God. That's the reach of a community of faith that's always looking out for one more. There's always one more seat at the table. There's always one more seat at your small group. There's always one more person that can fit in the conversation. There's always one person you can ring. There's always one person you can write a note to and say, Jesus loves you. There's always one person that you can make a lasagna and say, I pray that God ministers to you. If that's me, though, by the way, I'll be blessed. There's always one more person, friends, because his love is wide. I'm here to tell you why I'm leading this church. We'll be always looking out. We'll always be looking out at the world that God so desperately loves. I want you to stand to your feet right now. If you just echo with any of those few thoughts that I gave to you in about 10 or 12 minutes, I just want you to lift your hands towards heaven. Just let the life-giving presence just flood over you right now. Just touch your life. We're going to sing this song nice and strong as a declaration in a moment, but let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, thank you for your people. May just the joy of the Lord, Jesus, just flood over your people. We thank you, Lord Jesus, that for the river that flowed from the center of the garden, that it didn't stay in the garden, but the river flowed out of the garden, flowed into the wilderness. The wilderness that so needed the refreshment, the living water that began in the garden. So I pray from this church, this garden, Lord Jesus, that from our bellies would flow rivers of living water. Father, it would not be a dam, it would be a flow going into, Lord Jesus, our schools, our workplaces, our homes, our communities, our country, our state, our region and beyond, for the kingdom of God. Lord God, make us be your call people, your life-giving force in this community. If you agree on that, say amen today in Jesus' mighty name. Come on, let's sing this one time.
How good was that message? I know that you would have been blessed. Garden Church is a flourishing, life-giving church based on the northern rivers of New South Wales. We have a passionate commitment to see you make a difference in your world, thrive in community, and most importantly, connect you to Jesus. Visit our website, gardenchurch.com, for more details of ministries, our heart, and even some great resources to empower your life. Be blessed. Go and be life-giving.